next on RadioSaintPete.com, another edition of Peter's Proffer Podcast, a podcast featuring experienced lawyers Peter Tragos and Peter Sartes. The experienced lawyers at Tragos, Sartes, and Tragos in Clearwater discuss common legal questions, provide some insight into the legal process, and cover current events as they relate to the legal field.
And we're back here in the courtroom of current events with Peter's Proffer. Today's topic is on Florida's vote recount here from the most recent elections in November. And we've got a special guest, an attorney named Gordon Oldham, who's a real estate lawyer down in St. Pete, who's heavily involved in politics. He's actually a past president of the Pinellas County Young Republicans, and he was called to be one of the attorneys to watch this recount. And Gordon was actually one of my supervisors over at the state attorney's office when I was an extern there back in the day. So it's going to be a fun conversation. Thanks for listening in. If you guys ever want us to hit a topic, just hit us up on social media at Tragos Law, or you can send me an email directly, petertragos@greeklaw.com. All right, and we're in here with Gordon Oldham, and I appreciate you being here, Gordon. We're talking about Florida recount, the votes from the November election. Can you explain to us kind of an overview of how that process works?
Absolutely, Peter. Thank you for having me. I actually had the pleasure of being one of the 20 attorneys that were picked by the Republican Party of Florida for Pinellas County to help with the recount. The way that it worked We actually did the manual recount for the irregular votes, not the automatic machine recount. And we actually were at the supervisor of elections for 2 days a couple weeks ago, and there was, I believe, 15 tables. And at each table, there was two attorneys for the Republican Party, two attorneys for the Democratic Party, and then there were two employees of the supervisor of elections. And kind of what we did is we essentially witnessed and objected, if we needed to the irregular votes that had come in that were not able to be machine recount. So when we're talking about irregular votes, like, what am I talking about?
Right.
So it's a lot like there's overvotes, there's undervotes, and then there's essentially when people are bubbling things that don't even make any sense. So you wouldn't believe how many people don't read the instructions. The election ballot. But what happens is an overvote is when people bubble in all of the bubbles or more than one, and an undervote is when they don't bubble anything at all.
So what do you do? What do you guys do in that situation if somebody filled in three bubbles in one section?
Well, essentially what happens is that as an attorney for one side, I would object to that ballot, and then that ballot goes to a canvassing board.
Okay.
And the canvassing board actually sits in the room. It's three officials. One is a county court judge who chairs it. The other is a supervisor of election, and then the third is an appointed member, and they make the decision on whether to keep it or essentially make it invalidate it or make a decision as to what the intent of the voter is.
Do you know what...
If somebody typically, and I can't speak to every ballot, but if someone bubbled in all the ballots, usually the canvassing board would invalidate that.
Do you know if that vote was counted for one candidate or the other initially?
No.
Okay.
It was not. They were essentially invalidated, and the recount was
to see if there were any that should have been validated.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, what's an undervote?
So an undervote is when someone didn't vote for anybody.
Okay, so there's not much you can do with that, obviously.
Right, but The thing is that a lot of times, and we saw this a lot, the D and the DEM, people would actually bubble in the D,
oh,
side of the D. And so
And these are the people really, choosing. These are the people choosing the leaders of our country.
Yes. Yes. Okay. And that was the difficult thing. And you know, we had I was in the morning on Friday. We did the Nelson Scott recount, and then in the afternoon we did the Matt Caldwell, Nikki Fried recount. And what we saw is we saw a lot of those where people were bubbling things in, or maybe they bubbled in both, but it looked like they had erased one. And what would happen is a lawyer from whether the Democrat or the Republican would make an objection, and then they would write out a written objection. So, you know, we would object. We would say the bubbling or the whatever the voter had done, the intent of the voter is clear. They were picking whomever.
Right.
Then the attorney for the other side, who would, in my case, would be the Democrat, they would write a written response. Like, basically, no, that's not the case. It's clear here that they didn't know what they were doing. This vote should be invalidated.
How many objections would you estimate happened throughout the recount process while you were there in your section?
So in my section, I believe in the morning, we actually had like maybe five or six objections for the Nelson recount. And in the afternoon, we had probably double that.
Okay.
For the Nikki Fried one. And I think a lot of times it has to do with the attorneys on both sides. It's pretty clear. Some lawyers just objected to everything. It was like a blanket objection. And it made the process go a lot slower. And ultimately, the canvassing board came to the same conclusion, I think. But the reality, whatever the net votes, which I believe it was a net gain for Nelson in the morning, and it might have been for Nikki in the afternoon. I don't quite remember what the totals were, but it was not enough. It's not going to be enough to change the election. Our supervisor of elections, Deborah Clark, she does a fantastic job and runs a pretty tight ship. It's a heck of an operation. If you go over there and see everything, it's pretty interesting.
What triggers a recount in these sort of situations?
So in Florida, essentially what triggers a recount is the margin of votes, or the margin of the difference, the margin of difference between the votes. So it's like a half a percent. And in that particular case, both those elections were both in a half a percent of the voters that cast the vote. So that triggered the recount.
And when we talk about a recount, they recount the ones with issues with lawyers watching, making objections, but they also run all the ones through the machine again?
I believe so. Yes, they did. We weren't part of that process. You can actually view it as a member of the public. You can view all of this, actually, as a member of the public. But there's a big room with big glass windows, and you can actually see them feeding them through the machines. It's pretty interesting.
Okay, and what... Has there ever been a recount in Florida that you know of where the election has changed based on this automatic recount?
Not that I'm aware of. You know, this procedure that we were following was adopted after the 2000 recount.
Okay.
So a lot of the stuff that we were doing is somewhat new. The tables with the two attorneys on either side and then the election workers, I believe a lot of the procedure that we were following was actually adopted after the last election recount that we had, which I believe was Gore and Bush in 2000, where we had the issues with the ballots then.
And after kind of your taking part in your section, hearing what's going on in the different cities and counties across Florida, do you think that there's going to be enough of a change in this recount that could affect how the election ends up finishing up?
Well, I think it definitely did in the case of Nikki Fried. It did not with Nelson, but, you know, I can't really speak to some of the irregularities that are going on in Broward and some of these other places.
Right.
I don't really know. I don't think anybody knows. I think it's one of those situations where, and this is my personal opinion, that it's either gross negligence or it's fraud. It's not anything in between. So, I don't know. Here in Pine Mills, we had, you know, we did not have those kind of issues. We had irregular votes that the canvassing board had to make decisions on, but we didn't have votes disappearing and reappearing, which is, from what I, and I only know through what I read in the media, is happening down in South Florida.
So what is the next step now? What happens after you took part in that recount? What's the next part of the process?
Well, those results were certified, and I believe sent to the Florida Department of Elections, and then they certify those, and essentially the people get elected. So, right now we're still in the process. I believe actually the Secretary of State has certified the election results, but once that happens, then the big election that was a surprise to everyone was Nikki Fried and Matt Caldwell, and how he was declared the winner on election night, and essentially she won, and she's going to be our next, agricultural commissioner, and that's something that's pretty unprecedented. I can't say that it's never happened in Florida history, because I'm sure it probably has back in the old days, but in these days where we have media and the internet and instantaneous transfer of data, it's kind of crazy that we would get something like that wrong on election night. But a lot of it has to do with what was happening down in South Florida. I mean,
well, that's what I was going to ask. How does that happen? Is that just bad reporting, or is it really, you think, from some kind of gross negligence or fraud happening in certain counties that create such a swing in how? Because even a half of a percent with how many people voted in Florida is still thousands and thousands and thousands of votes.
Right. Well, I mean, the problem is that there were votes down there that weren't counted, that were valid. I don't know. I mean, that's the thing, is, and I don't think we won't know at this point in time. You know, the supervisor of elections down there, she resigned, and that's probably a good thing, because whatever happened down there, when they get in there and figure it out, some heads are going to roll, I think. But we don't know. We don't know what happened. You know, the access was restricted to those supervisor of election offices after the election. As you know, Governor Scott actually went into court in both of those counties and got injunctions. And there's still litigation that is going back and forth between the parties. I know that all the candidates have actually filed lawsuits.
How long can this actually delay the process?
Yeah, basically, I think that there's real issues down there, and it's too early to tell exactly what happened. But I mean, whatever happened can't happen again. I mean, this is a major threat to our democracy. It's a major threat to our elections in Florida. I mean, we got to figure out a way that this doesn't happen again.
How long can this litigation and all of the candidates filing lawsuits and things like that, how long can this really delay the process to where we have some finality in this election?
I don't think that it's going to delay the process. I think we're going to have finality if the, people are going to get sworn in. That's my personal opinion.
Because they got to start doing their job, right? I mean, this isn't like a regular lawsuit where people go on with their lives. These people have to start doing their job for the democracy, like you're saying.
Right. And I think, obviously a federal judge would have to unwind one of these elections, or a state judge, and I don't see that happening.
Right. That would be unprecedented.
But, I think that it's going to be interesting to see in the weeks and the months and however long they go on with these, to find out what really happened. I mean, were votes intentionally not counted down there? Were they left out? Were votes identified by
those are serious crimes. So
they came out of a more heavily Republican or Democratic area and they were set aside.
Right.
I don't know. I mean, and I'm not saying that because I have any knowledge of that, but clearly something happened down there, because what happened in that election did not happen in other counties that were of comparable size.
Right.
So, it kind of makes you wonder, was it intentional? Was it not? But regardless of whether it was intentional or not, we can't have a situation where you have a supervisor of election that can essentially change a national or a major statewide election because of a fraud or negligence. I mean, that's a real threat to our system. And you know, people lose confidence in the system, and they, you know, everything breaks down from there.
Right. Right, absolutely. Well, hopefully it all gets situated and everybody's at least appeased, even though we know everybody's not going to be happy. Thank you so much, Gordon. I really appreciate it. This was awesome, man, and we'll have you on again.
Absolutely. Take care, man.
All right. So that was the insider's view of what happened here in Pinellas County, at least, with the Florida recount. We appreciate everybody listening in with us. As always, you know where to reach us. Leave us a review, leave us a comment, leave us a rating, and we'll be with you next time.
Listen again on RadioSaintPete.com for another edition of the Peter's Proffer Podcast from Peter Tragos, Clearwater attorney. Find out more at TragosLaw.com.